P-minus 81. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Emma turned to Clark, wondering what lay behind the sudden and unusually high pitch of his voice when he reacted to her comment about the uplift patches. Utterly stunned by what happened next, she then saw Clark's hand reach into the back pocket of his jeans, from which it quickly produced a red uplift patch she had seen on precisely one occasion. "I borrowed this from Leisha," the elder McCarthy brother continued.
"Borrowed?"
Emma prodded. Clark gulped. "Well, yeah, because I am gonna give it back. He might not know I have it, but he won't mind." To their right, Chip Petrovich, the perceptive lawyer they were both sure would continue to prove himself more than useful if given the opportunity, couldn't hide his confusion at one part of this. "So you stole something from a superpowered alien that can read all of our minds?" he asked.
"He wasn't paying attention to me when he left," Clark explained. "I took this right after he took it off. Once he was finished with it, after he used it on those assholes at your place, either he wasn't listening to my thoughts at all later on, he definitely would have sensed I was trying not to think about it, or he did sense it and didn't care. Leisha is on our side, guys. He always has been. But since that incident in Buenos Aires, and especially since I stood up for him with my speech at the drive-in, he seems to like me pretty much as he likes Dan. If Chip had borrowed this without asking, or Godfrey, Leisha might not have taken it so well. But I really feel like what's his is mine, you know?"
William Godfrey, whose continued absence from public life was causing more and more uncertainty and disorder as the hours ticked by, but who was cautious to make any kind of public proclamation before news came in from New Kerguelen and beyond, nodded his head surely.
"I can attest to all that. My esteem for Clark certainly rose when he dove in front of that bullet, and from what I've seen of Leisha, he is a rational and thoughtful being. It's certainly true he has a soft spot for Clark that doesn't extend to everyone, even the rest of us, with whom he clearly has a strong rapport and a great deal of shared trust. I see taking one of Leisha's most powerful patches before he made a risky journey to an unknown world as a perfectly rational thing for Clark to have done when the opportunity arose, and Leisha would agree with that."
"Leisha will agree with that," Clark corrected, less than keen on the tense Godfrey had opted to use.
The chairman blinked quickly and gave an apologetic hand gesture. "Of course, when they all return safe and sound, Leisha will agree. But in the meantime—" All eyes fell on Emma. Moments earlier, she had been the one to lament the group's lack of access to Leisha's deep-diving ability, which now seemed to have presented itself thanks to Clark's nimble fingers and quick thinking.
"It is dangerous, Emma," Clark said. "Remember how red Leisha's eyes went? And even he was feeling exhausted after it. It's almost like when Dan first had the powers and you guys were in Cuba and Honduras, remember? He was getting headaches, losing his memories of entire days, feeling so sick that he couldn't keep using the telepathy during the interview with Poppy that the whole trip was set up to bring about. We don't know how much this could hurt or what kind of side effects it could have."
Emma gazed at her brother-in-law in unmasked confusion.
"So you stole Leisha's patch so we could use it in an emergency, and now that we're in an emergency, you're telling us you stole it but saying we shouldn't use it? Why would you even tell—"
"I'm trying to say you shouldn't use it,"
Clark interrupted, cutting Emma off in a relatively gentle tone.
"I'll do it. I'll take the risk to see exactly what's in Piper's mind. We know there's no risk to her because Leisha said the person whose mind you deep dive into doesn't even know it's happening. The risk is all on me."
Godfrey, already a fan of Clark's selflessness and protective instincts, made no effort to hide his further admiration on this occasion. Patting Clark firmly on the back, he spoke firmly.
"You're a good man, McCarthy. Now, let's see what the little one can tell us."
As Clark raised the red patch towards his neck, however, Emma stepped forward and took hold of his wrist to stop him before it got there.
"We have to," Clark insisted. Emma, we can't sit around while the world burns. If Piper knows something about what's happening on the other side of that gate, or even the last thing Dan was thinking, or the last thing he saw before she lost whatever kind of connection she has to him, that could change everything about how we're looking at things. Good or bad, we'll have a much better idea of what's happening, and Godfrey will be able to go out in public and tell everyone he's okay. We won't have to worry about him saying something that could make things better for an hour than make everything worse if it turns out to have been totally wrong about Dan's situation. Like, if he says Dan is okay and then, you know, worst case. Once we know all the things in her mind that she doesn't know how to tell us out loud yet, we won't be scrambling around in the dark. We'll know where we are and where we should go. Emma retained her tight grip on Clark's wrist. The size disparity and resultant strength disparity between them meant that this action was indicative of her own will rather than physically restrictive of Clark's, since both knew that at any moment he could have cast Emma's arm aside almost as easily as she could move Piper's. We have to, Clark repeated, lowering his arm but keeping his eyes firmly fixed on Emma's. He wouldn't do it without her blessing. Piper was her daughter, after all, and the people on the other side of the gate were her husband and sister, just like they were his brother and girlfriend, but he was a long way from giving up trying to secure her agreement. With what looked like a great deal of reluctance on her face, Emma let go of Clark's arm and held her right hand out, palm up. "Give me the patch," she said, somewhere between a request and a demand. The tone, at least, seemed somewhere between a request and a demand. The intensity in her eyes, on the other hand, was not for budging. The other two men in the room watched on silently, both knowing that their view on what should happen next meant far less than even Clark's when Emma had such a natural and inherent claim to decide whether her child's young mind should be dived into in the manner enabled by this most remarkable of uplift patches. More than a little reluctantly, Clark placed the patch in Emma's hand. But much to his surprise, and much to the relief of the others, she didn't destroy it or even put it away in her pocket. Instead, Emma McCarthy gazed at the bright red uplift patch, took one of the deepest breaths of her life, and quickly attached it to the back of her neck. "We do have to do this," she said, "but it has to be me."